Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. I'm talking about Angela Rayner's recent oration when she addressed a group of Labour MPs and activists in the basement of a Westminster pub. Was it the Red Lion? I'm not sure which one. So what wasn't a huge audience, but obviously it was intended to hit the media. Was it even filmed? 1,600 word speech. I wonder whether she actually gave the media a printout of her speech. So it only took a bit over 15 minutes to deliver. Anyway, so it's a fairly lettered speech, so she technically didn't write it herself. And in it, she was lacerating the Labour leadership. She never mentioned Sir Keir Starmer, but I think even Angela Rayner's not so thick that she doesn't know who the leader of the party is. I mean, after all, she used to sit beside him in the cabinet every day for over a year. So it's part of a group within Labour called Mainstream. But as one Labour wag quipped, yes, it's a faction against factions. So it's on the left of the party, but not the far left of the party is the idea. The far left rebel too much. They wouldn't even allow the cabinet. Remember the far left, they say, oh, it's absolutely evil that you're freezing benefits or something like that. But Angela Rayner voted for that because she's in the cabinet. So how come she's not evil, but Starmer is? But somehow because she's uneducated, because she was an educational failure or whatever, because she grew up working class, somehow this is a get out of jail free card for everything. So whenever she's caught lying, whenever she fails, whenever she proves herself to be stupid, oh, it's just because of my class or it's misogyny or something like that. This is illogical, bigoted nonsense coming out from her. And please God, she doesn't become prime minister, but I realize it's a serious chance it's going to happen. And then we'll have this every single day. You can see how bad the other uneducated prime minister in recent times, Sir John Major, how bad he was. All right. So going on with Mrs. Rayner, but some of what she said was on the money. Labour is running out of time to make these changes. And I didn't think anyone could dispute that. I mean, even Neil Kinnock was Labour leader 1983 to 92. And he said that Starmer's got months, not years to turn this around. It's in there before Christmas. And actually, Labour's gone slightly up in the polls, partly because of its handling of the Iran war, saying the party's very survival's at stake. Now, that is a dire warning, not just to be as a governing party, and not even to be the main opposition, but even there as a party. If someone of such standing says that, then Labour really needs to sit up and listen. They are in deep trouble. Because some opinion polls have had them fourth. Can you believe that? Fourth. The government of the country, fourth in the opinion polls. The Conservative government was handed at awful poll ratings. It was never fourth. It was rarely third. The Reform UK number one, maybe Conservatives number two, and then Greens number three, and Labour number four. Now, they're okay. There are polls that show them third or even second. And some of them show Labour not that far behind Reform United Kingdom, so only 4 points behind. The worst for Labour shows themselves 10 points behind. Reform UK out in front in like every poll, but sometimes by 8 points against the Conservatives or the Greens or something like that. But Mrs. Rayner patently regards the Green Party as the threat to see off, not Reform United Kingdom, which is why she's pivoting to the left. Okay, so she said they can't simply go through the motions in the face of decline. So she said she wants part of Labour to be bolder. Remember, that's what Gordon Brown used to say, which means more left wing. And he said that Labour appeared to be part of the establishment and not a force for change. So what are you going to do? Abolish the monarchy? No. Withdraw from NATO? No. I'm not sure you're going to do more anti-establishment. Get rid of nuclear weapons? No. Tax the rich more? Well, they're obviously taxing, even the middle class more. My council tax gone up. I notice how, taxes go up and salaries go down in real terms. The one thing that never goes down is benefits. I mean, how come those who are living off our money, the rest of us who don't work for a living, who are just scroungers and malingerers, most of them, I've got anxiety, I've got depression, that they never get worse off. And there's this crisis of entitlements, and that what causes revolutions, that when the social contract is broken, but people have got used to the idea for a couple of generations that they don't have to work for a living, that the government, i.e. ordinary people like me, have to pay for them, that they can just slob around and commit crime all the time, and they can just live on handouts. Remember a woman talking to me about going to the benefits office years ago. She had me signed on for about a fortnight. And a man said, got the money now, we're on the beers, and because he was a benefits claimant. And it's just a way of life for people. It's the family business in some cases. And Angela Rayner was one of those welfare parasites. But that's another thing. So She's pitching to the far left by saying she doesn't want any control over immigration, making people wait longer for permanent residency. She said that's un-British and a breach of trust. Well, I mean, I would agree with those who are already here. The Hong Kongers who came in, they've been here for almost 5 years in some cases, and they're due to get their permanent residency or indefinite leave to remain this summer in some cases. I wouldn't change the rules retroactively. But for people come in, I mean, I'm not really so fussed about indefinite leave to remain. I wouldn't extend it for 10 years myself. I know that's a terrible thing to do. I would just make that maybe more expensive or citizenship more expensive. You can get it, but it's not going to cost you 1,000 quid. It's going to cost you 10,000 quid. And that just raise money for the exchequer. It's something you don't need. It's optional. And it shows that British citizenship is valuable. So don't treat it lightly. This is something precious and so forth. Okay. So she said you can't move the goalposts for people to follow the rules. Well, you can actually. The government has the right to change the rules anytime, and it makes Labour seem unfair. But this will come across as being weak on immigration, and then more Labour working class voters will switch to Reform United Kingdom. And that's what she's really about. Her Ashton under Lyne seat just outside Manchester, that's under threat from Reform UK. I mean, I actually reckon she would hold it. Another ball in the air is what about the report by His Majesty's Revenue Customs up on her tax affairs. Apparently that's going to come back imminently, like the end of this month. Is it going to exonerate her? I give it a 90% chance that it is, because the public sector look after their own. And the very fact that she's made this speech possibly is because behind the scenes they've whispered to her that, yeah, we got your back. We're going to let you off on this one because we see you as one of ours, because you will have a more bloated public sector. You make it impossible to sack people. And then all these ineducable people who are just claiming to be having depression or anxiety, trying to force them into work. As an employer, you wouldn't want to take them because you can't sack people, you can't discipline people, and it just made it more expensive to hire people. I remember the chairman of the US Federal Reserve in the late 90s saying, if they can't fire people, they wouldn't hire people, because every time you take on a new employee, that's a risk. He or she might turn out to be bad, might need to get rid of this person, and you won't be able to do so. And they can sue the employers to kingdom come because of the employment law. It's already bad enough. You have a Christmas party. Somebody flirts with somebody else. Someone tries to kiss on the mistletoe. It's a work event. It's just terrible. So it's complete killjoy stuff, the way they've excessively broadened this definition of sexual harassment. I mean, I realize, say, in the 70s, people at work were sometimes sexually assaulted. Nothing was done about it. I don't want to go back to that. But, I mean, repartee or romance should not lead to people's careers being wrecked and so on. So she says that Labour needs to address some issues urgently, but it was completely free of policy demands. We're going to increase tax here. We're going to cut spending there. We're going to spend more here. We're going to outlaw this. We're going to decriminalise whatever. Yeah, it was fact-free. There was the complete non-specificity of the speech showed just how lightweight it was. But I suppose this is a constructive ambiguity. She hasn't tied herself down by having policy prescriptions. So she can just be the mood music is that Starmer is bad without mentioning him. That was the only thing that was a little bit cunning about it. So the Labour is letting down the voters who elected it. Well, that's definitely true, which is why some of them are so disenchanted and are voting either for the Green Party or Reform United Kingdom. Interestingly, almost none have switched to the Liberal Democrats. Almost nobody switched to the Conservatives and so on. So there has to be tangible change. So there's the ocular proof they've actually made progress on the National Health Service, on education, on crime and so forth. We know that they simply have lied about the figures, so kicking people off waiting lists to make the waiting lists look better. So this is an act of disloyalty. Now, she can't be kicked out of the cabinet. She already resigned in disgrace. Goodness. So what on earth is going to happen? It's a shot across Starmer's bowels, because there are about 6 weeks to those Scottish Holyrood elections, the Welsh Senate elections and the local elections in South Britain. And it looks like it's going to be catastrophic for Labour. If you see all the by-elections for, you know, local authorities, Labour is hemorrhaging seats, Greens gaining significantly, Reform UK gaining significantly, a bit less than before, Conservatives losing as well, not as disastrously as Labour. Partly Conservatives are starting from quite a low baseline of 4 years ago. There's not that much lower they can go. The Liberal Democrats actually gaining a little bit. Oddly, for parliamentary elections, the forecast is that they're not doing well, but they are doing fairly well in the locals. Labour is facing something close to a wipeout in the local elections. So she's laying down her marker for after the 8th of May. Notably, speculation about Starmer's leadership is quietened down. A month ago, you know, it looked like he was going to resign imminently. They managed to delay that. She's worried about Ashton under line. Why, she wanted the chicken run to Brighton, where she purchased that flat, which got into so much trouble. Is she having to sell it? I don't know about, there's that 40,000 quid in stamp duty she's got to pay and the surcharge. I don't know if she's paid it. About a month ago, she still hadn't paid it. But if that report comes back the other way, if against all the expectation, I'm wrong, and HMRC, they said, no, she was dishonest about this, that rather puts pay to her leadership ambitions. She could contest the leadership anyway. Let's say, well, look, Sleazy, we probably can't vote for her. That would really make it more difficult for a new leader. But she's going to come back into the cabinet, even if she's done something wrong. I mean, Starmer, in a desperate bid to shore up his leadership, has even said that. Only about 3 months after she had to resign in shame. So, I mean, after May, I think she'll be back in the cabinet, maybe under another Labour leader. Burnham's not an MP. Sadiq Khan is not an MP. Those would be her two possible rivals. I mean, although Burnham, the King of the North, a bit of a ally of hers, and he's obviously Mayor of Greater Manchester. I don't know how long she gets on with Sadiq Khan. But yeah, she'll be back in some form under another Prime Minister. Please, God, not Wes Streeting. All right. Thanks very much for watching my channel. Make sure you can subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.